What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. It's a Bustin' Balls. Yes, podcast we do. It's about drafts, prospects, and the future. Don't forget to like us, all those different things. And on the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. This week's draft is about talk is going to be about the Lions, the NFL in general. Following the combine, we got a free agency coming up, so that'll have a lot of bearing on that. One of our previous podcasts was about how to tether free agency with the draft, so you can check that one out on our Bustin' Balls catalog, which is growing by leaps and bounds. I have to say this, Evan, the combine was interesting to me because there were a lot of players that tested off the charts. But as you know, Evan, I've said this from day one. And I know I've gotten this right quite a few times in the past. But it appears that the draft gurus are starting to agree with me on who the Lions should take at number six. I saw Todd McShay's latest mock draft. Christian Gonzalez is picked from Oregon. Is it Dane Boogler from The Athletic? Christian Gonzalez is picked at sixth overall by the Lions. Yep. And I've said Christian Gonzalez for a couple months now. He tested off the charts under 4.4 in the 40. He's 6'1", 180 pounds. All his other drills were top-notch. He was very productive last year. He's a tough kid. All the talk about Devin Witherspoon, I understand that. He's a very good player, but Christian Gonzalez is just – he could be this year's Sauce Gardner. That's how I feel about him. So if the Lions took him at sixth overall like the draft gurus have, this is one time when I'm in line with many of them on this. That is the guy that I would take at sixth overall.
Now, Pat, do you think locally here more people are talking about Witherspoon only because we saw him playing in the Big Ten, playing against Michigan and Michigan State?
Well, yeah, he played great against Michigan. I mean, he was great. You know, he is a he graded out well. Nobody threw in his area. What I don't like about him, all right, if I were to look, you know, there's a chance he'll be a better player than Christian Gonzalez. You never know on this. He's not as good an athlete, though. He's not as big and fast and strong and all those other things. Gonzalez is an elite athlete. Witherspoon is, you know, an NFL athlete top of the line, but not in the elite category. So that's the difference there. And the other part, just looking at his technique, and this was noticeable in the Michigan game, he's very handsy. You know, he's very aggressive in hits, but he's a pass interference penalty right now, about ready to happen all the time. Defensive holds, things like that. That's just my observation on him. But if the Lions took him at sixth overall, or somebody he was taken ahead of Gonzalez, I wouldn't go nuts and say, right, "Oh, what a crazy pick!" It's my observation on it.
Hey, Pat, can I ask you a real dorky question right now? And this is a good place to do it here on Bustin' Balls. But you talked about being handsy. How different is defending a receiver in college vice versa defending one in the NFL when it comes to placing your hands on the defender?
I don't think there's any much difference in the rules. I mean, every year when I was a beat writer for the Lions, the NFL would send over official. It was always Dean Look. From Michigan State. He played at Michigan State. He was a star and played briefly in the NFL, actually the AFL, and he was a baseball player, played in Major League Baseball. And he was a back judge for a long time. And he always, I would ask him and grill him about pass interference. The first thing is the arm bar. Anytime you see an arm bar come out like that, you know, where the guy puts his arm on somebody and bars them, that flag is going up. The hands fighting, I don't think they care that much about it as long as it's hands on hands. What they don't like is when they start tugging, or they, you know, you saw the classic play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, people were talking about how, you know, that shouldn't have been called. It decided the game, but that was a subtle way by a veteran cornerback in controlling the receiver, little tug, which, you know, was noticed by the official, but also how he wrapped his arm around him a little bit to keep him from turning upfield on those different routes. You know, you see it all the time on those sluggo routes and things, or somebody will do that. And I think with Witherspoon in the NFL, where the receivers are a lot faster, you know, all of a sudden there's that feeling that they're losing that guy, and then the hands come out. And that's a very difficult adjustment. Gonzalez is able to kind of sit down a little bit with his athleticism and mirror the player down the field without having to put his hands on him.
Gotcha.
You know, nearly as much. And then when it comes down to the point of the ball getting up there, it's about like, hey, you know, who can high point that and time it better? And that involves jumping ability, size, those things. And if you were to look at Witherspoon and you were to look at Gonzalez, and somebody was throwing a route where you got a kind of a jump ball, one of those 50-50 balls, you're going to want Gonzalez in there. He did a 41-inch vertical jump, explosive athlete. And he's long. You know, he's 6'1", yeah, and he's long. So he's a classic outside corner. You know, and he's got some pedigree of athletes. You know, you've heard the story about how David Blau's wife, who was an Olympic runner, is his sister. So he's an elite athlete and seems hungry. And he played very well for Oregon last year. It's just Oregon was on TV a couple times. Certainly games that people watch, most notably the Washington game. And I watched a lot of Oregon last year because I love those 10 o'clock games. And he's pretty good.
Cool. Now you have your pick at six. I bet it's going to get a little tougher 12 picks later at 18 for the Lions.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be tough at six. What's going to happen with the quarterbacks?
Right. And that's,
you know, the Anthony Richardson, which I think, Evan, and you listen to all the shows and everything. You're there all day and the buzz that's going on in the station. You know, I come out at night. The freaks come out at night. And that's what they send me in there. You know, a little Houdini for you there, Evan. But the freaks come out at night. Remember that song, buddy?
Oh, I remember it.
I'm all over you like white-eyed rice. Situation with Anthony Richardson is fascinating because that's a freak, man. That's a freak.
That's everything. Everything athletically jumps off the page.
It's a, you know, he's 244 pounds.
It's you crazy.
And he, people who say, you know, it's all the time, man. Look, man, one of the things I can't stand is stereotyping athletes. And because he's a black quarterback, you know, it's always like, he can't pass, which is bull crap. This guy's got a great arm, you know, and it's just he hasn't in the moment been able to process, you know, as he's going through the plays, you know, particularly well. I don't know how to describe it. What Bryce Young does so well, he doesn't do well. But everything that, you know, in terms of physicality that you want that Bryce Young lacks, you know, this dude's got it, you know, over and over and over again, multitudes of it. He's, you know, so I don't know what to make of that. And I'm not sold on Will Levis. We talked about this. Everybody like, oh, Will Levis. I watch Will Levis play a lot. I mean, I know he's a terrific athlete and everything, and Kentucky struggled some last year, but I don't think he really helped the situation that much, to be honest with you. And, you know, Stroud to me is the best passer and the best quarterback in this draft. I like him more than Young. You know, I like his attitude, his makeup, you know, but the same questions that I would have to a lesser degree about Richardson, I have about Stroud in terms of like processing while he's in the pocket, that type of thing.
Sure.
But he's got the touch on the throws. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mental makeup, it appears. He's determined. Love that kid. But I wouldn't take any of those quarterbacks if I were the Lions. But who's going to take him? Is it going to be four quarterbacks that go? And then the other thing about Ramsey, or not about Ramsey, about Carter. I don't know why I mentioned Ramsey there. The Lions trade for that has, you know, been something right. We talk about. Jalen Carter's off the field issue, man. I wouldn't touch that guy with the 10-foot pole if I were the Lions. That was disturbing. So
it is. Look, I mean, Brad Holmes did wear that villain sweatshirt into the combine.
Well, yeah, that's true, and it got a lot of attention. But Lions in the past, when they've taken guys with some problems, they've caused a lot of problems. And it's I know that a lot of folks have said, well, Lions are always taking Boy Scouts, and that really hasn't been true. And there was one particular incident, and hell, it might have happened before you were born, for crying out loud, Evan. But I still remember it. You know, I was just starting my career, and it was out in Pontiac where, you know, the newspaper that I was working at was the whole Reggie Rogers thing. You know, driving incidents can be sometimes disturbing that way. And he seems to have a habit of speeding and doing that and not really caring much, you know? So, it's something that I think is precluding. And I have to admit that people who talk about him like he's the next Aaron Donald or Reggie White or whatever, I don't really see that in Carter. And there have been some bad boy 3 technique tackles. Remember Albert Haynesworth?
Oh, yeah. Stepping on people.
Yeah. Well, he was terrific with Tennessee for a while, and then it caught up to him.
He got monster deal with Washington, and then he never lived up to it.
Yeah, faded like that. So if you get that type of player, and even if they produce for you for a little bit, it ultimately comes back and gets you.
Well, isn't it kind of similar to like Ndamukong Suh, a guy who flat out did not want to be in Detroit? Phenomenal player while he was with the Lions, but I felt like he was more of a headache on the team than he really needed to be. Because, I mean, arguably they had their best season of my entire life when they went 11-5 with Suh anchoring that defense. But at the end
Evan, you're talking about night and day.
Okay.
All right. Suh did have a minor incident out in Portland where he's from, you know, driving. You remember that?
Yeah. And he went to like the girl's house and tried to pay her $400 or something like that.
I don't know. It was something, but Ndamukong Suh is an incredibly smart dude. Smart dude.
My friend hangs out with Warren Buffett.
Yeah. He wants to be a billionaire. All right.
Yeah.
So, but he's all about Suh. You know, that's what I always say about Suh. What's he thinking about right now?
Himself.
Suh. What was he thinking about yesterday? Suh. What's he going to think about tomorrow? Suh. You know, he wasn't about, you know, the team so much. All right.
Sure.
And, you know, the little things that the team would want him to do. And when they restructured his contract, he said, sure. You know, and the team thought, well, we'd negotiate with him. He said, no, I'm not negotiating. One less year here in Detroit, I'm going to Miami. And so, yeah, but Sue always you knew what you were going to get with Sue. Once he showed up, man, he was there to play. And his on-the-field behavior at times got a little out of hand, but he is a great player. And I don't see Jalen Carter would project as a Sue type player. He's a three technique defensive tackle. And but I don't think he's gonna be as good as Sue. Now look, man, that doesn't mean all end all. Somebody will probably pull this up in the future. I understand how it works, but I wouldn't touch him at six over. Will Anderson's a different story. I would take him. I'd take him over Gonzalez if he falls.
What about that kid, Nolan Smith, what he did from
that
Georgia?
Was phenomenal.
Right?
Yeah, incredible. There's a lot of –
like six is too high for him, and 18, he probably won't be there, right?
I'm not sure. Okay. That's somebody to consider. You know, it depends on what they think, looking at all their tape on it. I don't come in here claiming to be a scout. I know he tested off the charts, and he's got the character thing with him. You wouldn't have to worry about that. That was evident in how he spoke at the combine, just publicly. You know, I love him as a player. You know, him and the other one's Lucas Van Ness, who didn't even start at Iowa.
Yeah,
and is a freakish athlete. So there's a lot of edge rushers. You know, I didn't mention Tyrese Wilson. He's a guy that could come into play there. You know, he's not really a three technique tackle as much as a guy that you can play there and then put him in the five technique. You know, depending on what gap you wanted to use, and about the same size as Uzurike, who they took. So clearly, Brad Holmes looks for that type of player for his defensive line, and he would be somebody. So, but I think we covered the six pick pretty well. That's how I would go with Christian Gonzalez.
I like that. And also, I learned a new fact. I didn't even know that his sister was Blau's fiance or wife or whatever she is to him.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I mean, we all know the story where he sat there at the Lions' room and watched her in the Olympics and going nuts and.
Right. Oh yeah, in the
talk about a pedigree though, an Olympic runner and an NFL football player.
Yeah,
those parents have some good genes, eh?
Yeah, some pretty good athletes in that family. So, and you know, the thing about Gonzalez too is he's just coming into his own as you know, maturity wise.
Sure.
You know, a couple of years ago, he wouldn't have been projected anywhere near this, but he's just body's filling out. He's becoming better as he gets better, as he gets a little bit older. And he's not as wear and tear as some other players might be.
Yeah.
So I really like him. But those other corners are good. They're really good. There's a lot of good corners in this draft. I mean, it's really deep in corners. So, if the Lions passed on a corner there and didn't think Gonzalez was all that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's just that's what I think. And the other people think, you know, a lot of times, Evan, I don't agree with the mock drafts, but I agree with them on this one.
Yeah, usually I think last year you might have nailed three out of the four first round picks for our professional teams here in Detroit. So you got a good grasp on it. What did you make of Dan Campbell when he was talking with the media? This is personally, I feel this is the first time I've seen it in my time covering the Lions that he openly talked about a quarterback. I know we talked about quarterbacks, but he mentioned, hey, Jared Goff isn't a rookie. He's not going to be here forever. But that's the first time I feel that a Lions coach or GM has at least – said that they would be open to that situation. Like, you know, when Tua and why can't I think of his name, but with that draft class was going, Justin Herbert, that's the guy. There was no indication they were ever going quarterback. It was straight cornerback, all the teams behind them. They knew they were going cornerback. Were you happy to see that? Were you surprised to see that? What did you make of those comments?
Well, they got to draft a quarterback. You can't go forever without drafting quarterbacks. It's common sense. And I have no idea why the franchise has been like, well, I do know why. It's because of Matthew Stafford.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it was like a love affair with the guy, and I understood why. That he's a terrific talent, a great guy, all those different things. And they just always were trying. Well, after his first couple years, all right, and they already had Stanton there from the previous regime that they took in the second round. They were always trying to get to the next level and didn't want to use the draft capital to take a quarterback. Now, Bob Quinn, you know, I guess to his credit, I don't know. It's hard for me to give him a lot of credit because, you know, he didn't do a good job as GM, quite frankly. Good guy and all that, but he didn't do a good job. Took a couple quarterbacks and Jake Rudock and Brad Kaye. By Felicia Brad Kaye. His mother was Felicia.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I always loved that, man. You know, it's like, yeah, we so take a quarterback, it's by Felicia. So lines like, it was like by Kaye.
Right.
And so they didn't one of those guys played in the league. So who does that? Nobody. You know, Pittsburgh, good franchise. The Ravens, good franchise. You go down the list, all organizations take quarterbacks at some point. Now, you know, the Saints haven't taken a quarterback in the first couple rounds for a long time. There's a couple teams, like a real long time. There's a couple teams where it kind of, you know, they haven't done it. But most of the good team, Green Bay takes quarterbacks, even though they had Favre and Rodgers. They took Rodgers when Favre was still going well. I mean, history's full of that. So I don't know why the Lions haven't done that. The question is, you know, this is a legitimate question. They're never going to be in this spot again if things work out for them, where they're going to have two first-round picks and two second-round picks. So is this the year where you use that extra draft capital to take a quarterback? And the big question is, if you're taking one early, you have to be right on it. You know, it's not about like, you know, when a lot of discussions I have on the air with fans, Evan, it's about, well, you know, I don't take a quarterback, you know, take this position and do this, take all defense. It isn't all positions aren't equal and all players aren't equal. So if there's a quarterback that they like, you know, say Anthony Richardson and, you know, they've got their quarterbacks, Coach Brunell, their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, their scouts, Holmes, Dan Campbell, everybody, you know, Chris Spielman or whatever. I'm sure he's got the insight on C.J. Stroud, although I don't think he's going to be there when they draft.
Well, and there's also assistant quarterback coach J.T. Barrett. Don't forget about him.
Yeah, that's right, J.T. Barrett. So what do you do in that circumstance with quarterback? It's not about taking one. It's about taking the right one. And if you take a quarterback, like the quarterback that I like later round, like third day or whatever, is Jake Haener. I've talked about him from Fresno.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, to me, that would be somebody that I like. If you had an issue with Goff, could you play that quarterback and take you to a situation where you could win a couple games? So it's a bit of a dicey situation with that. But at some point, you've got to take a quarterback. And they need a veteran backup. You know, whether it's an Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz would be ideal for him. I don't think he's going to get a lot. There's a number of quarterbacks that are out there. People have talked about Teddy Bridgewater and others, although I think he's going to get a little bit of scratch more than what they're going to want to pay. But you have to have a veteran quarterback as a backup and draft one, in my opinion. But I don't know, you know, first four. And the other thing is, the last thing they should do, Evan, is start to think that they've arrived and start doing stupid things just to win now. All right? Yeah. That's why, you know, the Jalen Ramsey talk to me doesn't make a lot of sense, both in cap space and in draft capital. You spend all your time trying to clear the decks to have some cap space, just some, not a lot, some, because of what happened with the previous regime. Your whole trade for Stafford and everything after a lot of angst has turned out perfectly. Goff is your quarterback for this year. period. You don't have to. If they sign him to an extension, that's absolutely stupid. The time would be to do it after next year if he has a big year.
Sure.
And you have to cover your tracks at quarterback, and they can't get, you know, off onto this thing because you got to dance with what brought you. This has happened amazingly fast where they've gotten in good position, partly because their conference and division, in addition to two really good drafts. But you can't get off track on that because ultimately that's not going to help you win sooner. It could affect you because if they have a bad year this year, which is entirely possible, things happen in the NFL, there's still 2024. And that's the year where actually everything could really come together for them. So they got to be cool about it and not do some of the dumb things. But I wasn't surprised Campbell talked about it that way. It's an obvious thing. And he's a little more transparent about, like, if somebody asks him an honest question, he'll give you more of an answer to it that makes sense rather than, you know, trying to, you know, what the Lions have been like.
Oh, yeah.
In the past. Dan Campbell's not like that. Brad Holmes isn't like that. Frankly, I don't think Sheila Hamp is like that. I think they've, you know, gotten over their whatever it's been for those years. And that's one of the things I like about him right now.
Awesome. Well, that's it for me. Is there anything else that we didn't
call out? Well, 18.
We're 18. Oh, yeah. 18. Seconds.
I think that, you know, they may look at an offensive lineman there. It depends, you know, Cypress, that guard from Florida, he could come into play there. If Paris Johnson falls, which is entirely possible, he could come into play there.
State, right?
Yeah, and I think that that's a possibility. And I think in the second round, you're going to look and maybe see the Lions start looking at running back there. I don't think it's just going to be an all-defensive loaded draft like people are saying. And I know Bijan Robinson's going to probably be off the board by then, right? So the other running backs to me are pretty intriguing. Like I said, I would look at Tajay Spears in the third round if he's there from Tulane. He was so good at the combine, and he was a very productive player. I like him a lot in that spot, and I look for a possibility that Andre Swift gets traded because he's got 1 year left. And if the Lions were to take running back fairly high in the draft, that kind of fits that particular role, you could see that. The running back situation has got to be addressed with the draft if they don't sign their players. And to me, Swift has some value that way, a lot of it, that could help them in the long term.
Yeah, and I think the writing might be on the wall, too, just depending on what Jamal Williams and the Lions do as well, because – listen, I understand he had a great year last year. I don't know if that's going to be the Jamal Williams we get going forward.
NFL history is full of running backs with one or two good years. The question is whether he's got another good year and what the term of his contract is. You know, running backs, you don't pay him that much as a general rule because of the nature of the position. It's unfair to the players. No other player takes a beating like that. That's the problem with football. It's kind of like that.
Well, yeah, think about it. I mean, Tony Pollard signed the franchise tag for like $10 million, where a quarterback's franchise tag is $45 million. I mean,
right, exactly.
You can't convince me that all things are created equal there.
So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation, Evan. Great talk today about the draft. Well, look, we'll do a number of NFL podcasts on this. I'll have a column up.
We're just getting into it now, Pat. Now we can really dive into it.
And I have a column up, I'm going to be writing quite a few columns here. One of them is going to be on the Lions quarterback situation and how it relates specifically to Jared Goff. How quickly the landscape has turned. So check that out at odyssey.com, 971.com. Pat Caputo, 98 on Twitter, King of the KC on Twitter. That's Evan's Twitter account. And don't forget to like us, you know, and download us, subscribe to us, Apple iTunes, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com, download.
Yep.
And just check us out on all our different social media platforms. Like always, Evan, appreciate it. Appreciate y'all listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.